Dallas is in.
Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 78 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Jacob Lindberg.
He was telling her that if the police showed up in the front yard or in the driveway, that he would kill both of them.
A Rowan County man was arrested after an armed hostage situation.
An escaped inmate has been captured in Johnson County.
Moorhead City Council passed the first reading of an ordinance removing street parking.
In sports, the Reds start a series in Miami tonight.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Scattered thunderstorms this evening with lows around 70 degrees. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
A Rowan County man remains jailed on $75,000 bond after an armed hostage situation on Wednesday. The county sheriff's department was notified around 11 a.m. that 22-year-old Daniel Smith was holding his mother and brother at gunpoint at a house on Hamilton Road. Sheriff Matt Sparks then requested assistance from the Moorhead Police Department's special response team. City Police Captain Kyle Callahan says Smith's father was able to finally talk the suspect out of the house at 1:45, after which he peacefully surrendered to authorities. Callahan says based on what Smith's mother said, the situation had the potential to be very dangerous.
He was telling her that if the police showed up in the front yard or in the driveway, that he would kill both of them. So once that was found out, you know, Sheriff Sparks decided that it's best to try to stay out of the way and wait and try to talk him out. I mean, it could have very well been a bad situation. If we would have approached the house, who knows what would have happened.
Police say they found two handguns, a pellet gun, and drug paraphernalia in the home. Smith has been charged with one endangerment and two counts of kidnapping.
The interim executive director of the Downtown Lexington Partnership has resigned after being arrested for a DUI. According to the Lexington Herald leader Alan Stein, a well-known businessman and civic leader in Lexington, was arrested Saturday night and charged with driving under the influence. Authorities say Stein was stopped after 9 p.m. when an officer saw a known prostitute exit his vehicle. Stein failed a field sobriety test and was taken to the Fayette County Detention Center. Stein was the chairman of the Board of Directors for Commerce Lexington last year. He was also president and CEO of Lexington Legends until 2011.
An inmate who escaped from the Big Sandy Regional Detention Center is back behind bars. WKYT reports Thomas Price was apprehended late Tuesday evening by Kentucky State Police after almost a month on the run. Johnson County Sheriff's Deputy Danny Martin says Price always seemed to be one step ahead of authorities.
Seemed like every time we would get a tip on him, and it'd be a valid tip, we would constantly just miss him. Just looks like he just went right out the door when we got there.
After a car chase ending in a crash, Price was charged with fleeing police and wanton endangerment.
A former Pike County official is in the Pike County Detention Center after being accused of assaulting his wife with his car. EKB-TV reports 76-year-old Charles Carlton of Pikeville is charged with fourth-degree assault. His wife told police that she suffered injuries to her face, arm, and leg after Carlton intentionally drove the car forward to knock her down. Carlton has denied the allegation. He is held on a $2,000 cash bond. Carlton was formerly a high-ranking appointee in former Pike Judge Executive Wayne Rutherford's administration.
The use of heroin in Ashland Central Park led to the arrest of two people on Wednesday. According to the Ashland Daily Independent, detectives with the Ashland Police Department and the Kentucky State Police observed Flora Pennington and Andrew Albertson using the drug in the park's restroom. Pennington is charged with first-degree possession of a controlled substance, possession of drug paraphernalia, and first-degree wanton endangerment. Albertson is charged with public intoxication, first-degree possession of a controlled substance, and possession of drug paraphernalia. Both are lodged in the Boyd County Detention Center.
WKYT is reporting a woman is accused of stealing from the victim of a deadly motorcycle crash in Whitley County. Officials say Scott Bray was rounding a curve on Whetstone Road Tuesday when he lost control of his vehicle and struck an embankment. The coroner pronounced him dead at the scene. Deputies later arrested Alicia McElfresh, saying she stole money from Bray's wallet after the crash. She is charged with theft and tampering with physical evidence.
Morehead City Council met in special session today to pass readings on several new ordinances. Around 25 residents attended the meeting to voice concerns with eliminating street parking, specifically on Knapp Avenue. Jim Perry lives on Knapp. He told the council that property values on the street were already going down as more of the homes are turned into rental property.
We empathize with the issue of property values going down, but our number one issue here is safety. That's still the bottom line. I suggest that we address the issue as it is right now and address that issue that you brought up about students living in these houses.
The council unanimously passed the ordinance to eliminate parking on Cecil Drive and on the east side of Knapp Avenue. The Public Works Department has been tasked with creating a prescriptive plan for the street before the second reading of the ordinance.
An ordinance regarding golf cart use in Olive Hill has been tabled. MSPR's Chaz Jenkins reports.
According to the Grayson Journal-Inquirer, the ordinance would have permitted golf carts to be driven on city streets in Olive Hill and was scheduled for last week's council meeting. Due to significant changes to the regulation, before it can go into effect, it has been rescheduled for next month's meeting. The golf carts would be allowed to travel on roads with a speed limit of 35 miles per hour or lower, and each cart can have no more than 6 people. Also, each golf cart must have a sticker displayed that states the cart is allowed to be operated. The Olive Hill Police Department would be responsible for issuing the permits. The next council meeting is scheduled for August 21st. For Morehead State Public Radio News, I'm Chaz Jenkins.
The Carter County Fair will take place August 6th through the 12th at the Carter County Fairgrounds near Grayson. The week-long event will feature carnival rides, animal shows, a beauty pageant, and food. Board member Jill York says the fair board is always looking for additional volunteers.
The fair board is made up of volunteers from the community and all ages. We have very young folks that are still in college all the way up to folks that are retired, but love the idea of keeping the true traditional agrarian 4-H livestock with great outdoor entertainment sort of fair event happening in the community.
York says prized vegetables, canned foods, and crafts can be entered in the contest for the Carter residents or residents of neighboring counties. Admission to the fair differs each day. For more information, visit the organization's website at cartercountyfair.org.
Officials with the Fleming County School System are still assessing storm-related damage at the district's central office and at Flemingsburg Elementary in the wake of last Sunday's severe storms. Heavy rains caused a stream behind Fleming Central Office to flood and pour 4 feet of water into the building's basement. Superintendent Brian Kreisman says in addition to housing 3 offices, the basement has also been used to store important records, which he thinks can be saved.
We think so, and the company that we've contracted with, Belfour, says that they think they can preserve them. I'm not a scientist, but they know what they're doing. They specialize in that, and it is important to us that we keep those records. And we've also had Kentucky's Department of Archives here, making sure that, you know, we do keep the critical records that we need.
Meanwhile, high winds from Sunday's storm ripped loose an awning at Flemingsburg Elementary, causing it to skip across the building's roof, which created an undetermined amount of damage.
Crews in Bracken County are preparing a major search as they continue looking for an Augusta man who's been missing since last weekend. MSPR's Tilden Johnson reports.
According to the Maysville Ledger-Independent, 82-year-old Delmar Nickerson went missing last weekend during the severe storms. His mobile home along Minerva Road in Augusta was swept away by flash flooding. Professional crews as well as family members have been searching along and beyond Bracken Creek since Sunday. Buffalo Trace Search and Rescue Captain Ron Natticsburn says the effort is no longer a rescue, but a recovery. The captain says he is preparing the family for the worst, but is still hoping for the best. Natticsburn says a large search effort is being planned for Saturday, including many more volunteers and 4 canine units. He says what the crews do today and Friday will depend on the expected rain. For more Head State Public Radio news, I'm Tilden Johnson.
Rowan County is working to get its application ready to send to the state for a Transportation Alternatives Program grant. Judge Executive Walter Blevins says the county must submit its paperwork for a biking, hiking, and walking trail system by September to have a shot at a TAP grant.
We could maybe get $500,000 or $1 million. Well, at least that's what I'm hoping. We'll have enough to make a big dent in it, maybe complete the whole project. But I think that what I've been told, you have to either have some kind of blacktop or some kind of concrete or some kind of a meshing material that will kind of hold in case you do have flooding.
Levin says Rowan County's potential trail system will be made up of old railroad and creek beds and also employ part of U.S. 60. The Moorhead Tourism Commission is chipping in $2,500 to help pay a consultant to put together a design and feasibility study for the project. The county is willing to foot the rest of the $7,500 bill, but hopes the city of Moorhead will be willing to split that amount with it.
Many healthcare providers are keeping close tabs on what's happening in Washington, including the Kentucky Hospital Association. The Kentucky News Network's Ed Huckleberry reports.
We absolutely are following the movement at the federal level.
KHA Senior Vice President Nancy Galvani says Medicaid expansion under the ACA has helped hospitals but turned into a financial burden on the state. There's no way to predict, though, what might come out of Washington.
Yeah, I don't think it's anybody's guess as to, you know, one day they're going to pass something, the next day it's dead. So we're just really waiting to see what happens.
Hospitals, like you and me, continue to wait and watch. I'm Ed Huckleberry.
A Kentucky congressman is keeping a close watch on the efforts to repeal the Affordable Care Act and the effect that might have on the opioid crisis. Republican Hal Rogers spoke on C-SPAN.
Yes, I'm monitoring that very carefully, the Medicaid impact, as we go along in trying to reform the Obamacare system. We'll watch it very, very carefully because you're right, the Medicaid recipients in many cases are the ones that we need to focus on in the drug abuse problem.
Rogers, who chairs the Congressional Caucus on Prescription Drug Abuse, says Kentucky loses about 100 people per day to prescription opioid overdoses, not yet factoring in overdoses from illegal drugs like heroin.
The Land Between the Lakes National Recreation Area in western Kentucky is offering prime viewing spots for the upcoming total solar eclipse next month. The park is planning a series of programs to educate people about the eclipse, scheduled to happen on August 21st. Sun and moon days will go from August 16th to the 23rd. Park officials say the duration of the eclipse at the spot near the Egner Ferry Bridge will be 2 minutes. Eye protection, free parking, and food vendors will be at the bridge location. The Golden Pond Planetarium and Observatory will host an eclipse party on August 19th and solar viewing the next 2 days. The Home Place 1850s Working Farm and the Woodland Nature Station will offer related activities.
The Daniel Boone National Forest has extended its ban on harvesting wild ginseng through the 2017 season. Forest Supervisor Dan Olson said in a statement on Tuesday that more time is needed for a healthy number of ginseng plants to return to the forest. Officials didn't issue collection permits in 2016 after noting a significant decline in plants. Olson says much of the decline is attributed to illegal harvest methods that include over-harvesting, out-of-season collection, and not reseeding. Officials are hopeful that the ban will help reestablish a healthy population of wild ginseng within the Daniel Boone National Forest. Taking a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area tonight, scattered thunderstorms this evening, cloudy skies after midnight, lows around 70 degrees. On Friday, thunderstorms likely, a few storms may be severe. Chance of rain 90% with highs around 80 degrees. On Friday night, a few clouds, lows near 60. Saturday, sunny, highs near 79. Saturday night, clear to partly cloudy and lows near 56. On Sunday, mostly sunny skies, highs near 80 degrees. Sunday night, clear skies with lows near 59. In Ashland right now, it's 77 degrees, and Flemingsburg 81, Inez 74, Winchester 82, Lexington 86, and here in Moorhead on the campus of Moorhead State University, it's 77 degrees.
You're listening to Mountain Edition here on Moorhead State Public Radio. We're glad to have you with us. A longtime advocate for domestic abuse victims has been promoted to Assistant Director of Doves of the Gateway. MSPR's Arlo Barnett has the story.
Justice serves at Doves of Gateway. Melissa Justice started with the organization 12 years ago, serving as a child advocate.
So I basically did, I worked 4 to midnight, Monday through Friday, and I did anything child-related. So child assessments, the children's group, we assisted with homework, anything that was child-related. And then we also, I did the women's support groups in the evenings, as well as the children's support groups in the evenings. So that was my 4 to midnight position for the last 12 years.
Justice assumed the role of assistant director on April 1st. She says the day shift means she's more involved in administrative work than hands-on outreach nowadays, but she's still proud of her work, especially when she sees the pride of a domestic abuse victim getting their own apartment.
There's really not words to describe when you see a woman get her own apartment, you know, or any victim, because we also serve males. So when you see any victim come in and, you know, they may be here for months, and to see, though, how proud they are when they exit and they've got their own place and they've got their job, and just see the excitement in their eyes.
DOVES stands for Domestic Violence Emergency Services. It serves the Gateway region, which includes Bath, Menifee, Montgomery, Morgan, and Rowan counties. Justice says they're getting busy in the region.
We are fixing to start, we are actually getting in the books, some outreach community support groups in Montgomery County. We have a fundraiser coming up. It's August 4th. It's called Bat Away Abuse. It's at the park across from Walmart, and it's on our Facebook page. So if anybody wants to sign up, if anybody wants to volunteer to umpire that day or wants to sponsor some of the fields or some of the teams, they can get a hold of the lady that's putting it on, Kristen Yates. And like I said, all of the information is on our Facebook page or on our Doves of Gateway page. And then we also have this year, in October, we'll be having our annual online auction.
Looking forward to next year, Justice says there will be a special event celebrating the 25th anniversary of the shelter, where she's spent the last dozen years watching how it gives people another lease on life. And again, that's why she does it.
To see the change that woman takes or that victim takes from when she first comes into shelter to when they exit shelter on their own, just the empowerment, the self-esteem, everything like that. You can just see the person change from someone who doesn't really know where to go to someone who has much more confidence, much more self-esteem, is more able to provide for themselves financially, and knows how to get along independently.
I'm Arlo Barnett for MSPR.
It's 48 degrees on the campus of Moorhead State Public Radio. Braxton Howard has sports in 30 seconds.
Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can easily be accommodated. Featuring a variety of gifts, cards, locally made crafts, and now a complete yarn shop. A community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Moorhead. The Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop and Coffee Tree Books are open Monday through Saturday, online, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Good afternoon with Moorhead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The Cincinnati Reds are in Miami tonight to start a four-game series with the Marlins. The Reds are just 2-11 since the All-Star break, dropping their record to 41-60 on the year. Manager Brian Price says the Reds have to hunt for more victories to finish the season on a positive note.
We have to show some momentum. You know, we have to create. I just think it's important. I don't think we can sit here and go, hey, you know, we're getting better, and you lose 95 games. I just don't think that's the message that we want to send our players, our fans, our ownership. We have the ability, I think, here to win enough games to feel like we're moving in the right direction, and kind of digging ourselves out of the hole that we've created.
0-3 Robert Stevenson will take his 8.1 ERA to the mound for the Reds. 1-1 Chris O'Grady will go for Miami. Some afternoon scores from around the major leagues today. Cleveland beat the Angels 2-1, and the Nationals became the first team since 2010 to hit home runs in four straight at-bats. on their way to blowing out Milwaukee 15-2. And Toronto beat Oakland 8-4 on a walk-off grand slam in the bottom of the 10th inning. The Cincinnati Bengals start their preseason camp this weekend in the Queen City, and a former UK star will be there trying to make the team. Darren Simmons is the Bengals special teams coach. He told Kentucky.com this week that running back Boone Williams' best chance to stick with the club could hinge on what skills he displays as a kickoff and punt returner.
I think that's one. It's got to be one of his unique skill sets. You know, he's obviously very versatile. He's very mobile. He's very elusive. And, you know, I think for him to make this team, he's going to have to be put in some of those situations. He's going to have to excel in those roles because he's playing at a position right now that's pretty stacked up from the running back spot. So he's going to have to, for most of these young rookies to make the team, they're going to have to make an impact there. And that's certainly going to be one he's going to have a chance to.
The Bengals signed Williams as an undrafted free agent. Round County football coach Kelly Ford likes what he has on his roster so far. Ford thinks the Vikings have a lot of talent at several positions, but admits there's one spot that remains unsettled at this point.
Still question on my linebacker position. We're going to be, you know, really young there. Right now we've got two sophomores that's been competing and getting reps there. So that's one area that I'm real shy of right now. But everywhere else, I think we're going to be pretty solid.
Preseason workouts for the Round football team are continuing. The Vikings face Nicholas County on August the 11th in a scrimmage as part of the EKC Gridorama in Flemingsburg. After watching his team post back-to-back 1-9 records in the last 2 years, Lewis County football coach Josh Hughes thinks the Lions are ready to turn the corner. Hughes says they were young in both 2015 and 16, and the seasoned veterans from those squads are ready to start handing out some lumps of their own this fall.
We're a much more knowledgeable team just because of, like I said, the experience. You know, the kids are able to take a little bit of leadership to explain to the younger guys what they're supposed to do. Just because they've been through it a few times. And I think, you know, there were times last year where we did things right. We just weren't big enough, fast enough, or strong enough to necessarily execute it. And this year I'm seeing a difference in that.
Hughes says he has only about 35 players out for the team right now, but hopes to add to those numbers when Lewis County starts school in a couple of weeks. With 10 new players and 3 new assistant coaches joining his program in the offseason, Morehead State men's basketball coach Preston Spradlin has been using the last 4 weeks to build the Eagles' chemistry. Spradlin believes that process has gone well.
In the summer, you know, there's not as many students on campus. There's not as many people in our town. And so it really just allows these guys to spend time with one another. And that's huge. It's so important that these guys trust and believe in one another and hold each other accountable. And that just makes all those other things that you do more efficient once you get to the season, once you get to real practice.
Which starts in October. After spending the last 4 weeks on campus, the Basketball Eagles are getting a couple of weeks of vacation starting this Saturday. The woman convicted of trying to extort Louisville basketball coach Rick Pitino was going home. KNN's Will Clark reports.
6.5 years ago, Karen Cypher was told by a judge her attempt to extort Rick Pitino was based on sheer greed. Today, she walks out of a federal halfway house and back into society, starting 2 years of supervised release that mandate her contact with a federal probation office, that she keep or look for a job and avoid excessive alcohol. Cypher served the majority of her time at a facility in Alabama, but the Federal Department of Corrections is not saying where her halfway house was or where Cypher may be headed now. I'm Will Clark.
Finally in sports, Round County boys soccer coach Max Hammonds is happy with the progress that his Vikings have made so far in preseason practices. After a few weeks of drills, camps, and matches at the recent Bluegrass State games, Hammonds says he's learned a lot about his group.
We've played one of our more skilled soccer teams we've had as far as technical ability goes. So, you know, if they can put that together, it's going to be really, really good. You know, they're pretty good at passing. They're getting better. You know, I think they're going to be able to control the games by having the ball a lot this year. So it's a good thing going forward.
The Vikings boys soccer team opens up at home against Bourbon County on August the 15th. That's it for sports for Morehead State Public Radio. I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics. Tickets are now available for Morehead State fall sports, including football, soccer, and volleyball. Home games begin August 13th for soccer and August 25th for volleyball. Football begins their season by hosting Kentucky Christian at 6 p.m. on Thursday, August 31st. More information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. equities closed mixed after the technology sector rolled over in late trading after earlier strength, and the Dow Industrials actually finished with a gain of 85.54 at 21,796.55. The S&P 500 was down 2.41. Of course, the S&P being weighed by the technology sector, with the index finishing at 2475.42, and the NASDAQ composite, obviously more weighted in tech than anybody else, finished with a loss of 40.56 at 6382.19. New York Stock Exchange breadth was roughly 4-3 in favor of losing stocks over winners. In the technology sector, Facebook was definitely an outstanding performer today, with the stock up almost 3%, as Facebook reported second quarter earnings per share of $1.32, and expectations going in would be that they would earn $1.13, and the company reported $9.32 billion in revenues, which beat estimates going into the report of $9.2 billion. The company also reported better-than-expected monthly active users, which is a key metric for Facebook. Amazon's earnings, on the other hand, were a bit of a disappointment when they were reported just after the close, and this sent the stock down 4% in after-hours trading. Uncertainty about what tax reform might look like grew after House Speaker Paul Ryan said in a statement that a border adjustment tax is now off the table, and market participants are starting to think a new tax plan will be less than what was originally promised by the administration. Dow Transports fell just over 3%, and they posted their worst day since 2016. In economic news, initial jobless claims came in at 244,000, which was slightly above the expected reading of 240,000. Durable goods orders rose 6.5% in June. In the commodities markets, oil finished with a gain of 0.8% at $49.14 a barrel. Gold was up 0.75%, finishing at $1,259 an ounce. European markets were mostly lower, with the Stock 600 down 0.1%. Asian markets rose, with the Nikkei up 0.15% and the Hang Seng Index up 0.7%. And among Dow Industrial stocks, your best performers were Verizon and Boeing. Your worst performers were Apple and American Express. In the S&P 500, the best performers were ADP and Tractor Supply, and the worst performers were CA and Johnson Controls. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Incorporated down 54 cents at $66.04, CSX down $2.06 at $50, AEP up $1.21 at $70.66, AK Steel down 25 cents at $5.99, Marathon Petroleum up 50 cents at $56.16, and Anthem was down $1.50, finishing at $183.49. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Innovation Launchpad at Morehead State University. The Innovation Launchpad provides education collaboration and infrastructure for new or startup businesses with consulting services, financial planning, workstations, meeting, and conference rooms. Located at 149 East Main Street in Morehead, the Innovation Launchpad seeks innovative visionaries who want to start or grow their company, facilitate partnerships, and create jobs. More information at morehedstate.edu/innovation.
Taking a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area, tonight scattered thunderstorms this evening, cloudy skies after midnight, lows around 70 degrees. On Friday, thunderstorms likely, a few storms may be severe, chance of rain 90%, with highs around 80 degrees. On Friday night, a few clouds, lows near 60, Saturday sunny, highs around 79. Saturday night, clear to partly cloudy with lows around 56. On Sunday, mostly sunny skies, highs near 80 degrees. Sunday night, clear skies with lows near 59. In Ashland right now, it's 77 degrees, Flemingsburg 81, Inez 74, Winchester 82, Lexington 86, and here in Morehead on the campus of Morehead State University, it's 77 degrees.
We'd like to take a moment to thank you for listening to Morehead State Public Radio and Mountain Edition. We are so glad that you join us each afternoon. Going to do it for Mountain Edition. We had help from Chuck Moraz, Harlow Barnett, Ellen Barnett, Braxton Howard, Jacob Lindberg, Chaz Jenkins, and Tilden Johnson. Kentucky News Network's Ed Huckleberry was also assisting this afternoon. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BHINES. Our show is archived daily. on the web at WMKY.org. For Jacob Lindbergh and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers. For Morehead State Public Radio News, All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.